Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Ethan. And for the ladies that decorate, it looks spectacular, but I am just too short to see over it. So no disrespect, all I could see was plant, and I want to see you guys. So thank you, ladies, who make this place look so nice. And hopefully you can pray and I can be taller. We can use that more often, but I don't know if you can help me with that. We are glad you're here, as I've already said, and we are going to be back in 1 Corinthians this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I invite you to find that in your copy of God's Word. I debated if I should review last week's or the week before's. I'm going to do both. And that was like Wednesday when I settled on that. And then with everything that's happened the rest of this week, I think it's important that we remind ourselves God is still sovereign on Wednesday. And one of the deacons, we have a deacon's text group, and someone said, Pastor, you need to change the message title to God is still sovereign on Thursday or Friday or next week. But God's still sovereign, period. Maybe I should just say that. God's still sovereign. No matter what happened this week, today, right now, God is still sovereign over the entire universe. God is still sovereign over every aspect of nature, all of nature. He is sovereign over every angel. He is sovereign over every nation and every leader, all of them. Every nation and every leader, all of them, including Joe Biden, who looks like he's going to be the leader of our nation for the next 4 years. God is sovereign over him and whatever he may choose to do. He is sovereign not just over leaders, but over each and every person. He is sovereign over things we think of as coincidence, chance, or luck. And I put all of those in quotes. He is sovereign over sin and Satan, as displayed by Joseph's words to his brothers by saying, "The things you did to me that you meant for evil, God has used it for good." So, how did you wake up on Wednesday? How did you wake up this morning? How have you been thinking and responding to all that's going on? Like Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That's how he begins the book to Timothy. And then at the end of the book, he says this in chapter 6. He, talking about God, who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Is that how you've been able to be responding this week, because God is sovereign? Or maybe you chose to respond like the Habakkuk's last words in the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Were you able to live by faith this week? Like God is sovereign, always in control, always in charge of everything and everyone. One of the things God is sovereign over that we didn't even touch on last week, but 2 weeks ago we did. We looked at the fact that he is sovereign over the reality of a bodily resurrection, and that the fact that he is sovereign, that he has ordained that this is going to happen, we are to respond to that truth. Just like we're supposed to respond to the truth that God is sovereign, we're supposed to respond to the truth that there is a bodily resurrection. So what are we supposed to do? And that is where we were 2 weeks ago. The things we saw that Paul said, here's how you respond. Celebrate it because you know some of what God has planned. The first thing he said is Christ is going to be resurrected first. That has already happened. So maybe it's better to say Christ was resurrected first. Then, at some point in the future, those who belong to him, belong to Jesus Christ, will be resurrected. Our permanent resurrection is only possible because Jesus was raised first. After that, Paul says the kingdom of God is going to come, and that every enemy will be defeated. Every enemy will be put under God's foot, or Jesus Christ's foot. And finally, he said, I'm going to defeat death, the last enemy. You realize that God doesn't have to tell us any of that. He can just tell us, I have it under control. It's all under control, but he does. We shouldn't just celebrate it, but we should be amazed, grateful, thankful. Is that your response? That you know what God has planned? some of what God has planned. How excited are you that you know and don't have to guess or worry about what God has planned, what will happen, how the story ends? You already know. That should be even more exciting after this week, that you know that no matter what happened this week or what will happen next week, God has told us how things are going to end. He tells, you guys don't read the last chapter of a book first, right? You don't do that? I know some of you do, because I've heard you say it. But God, in this instance, says, this is what's going to happen at the end of the book. This is how it's going to end. You don't know how it's going to get there, but God says, this is what's going to happen. We should be excited. We should be celebrating that. And we should be motivated, because God is in control, because God has told us all this, we should be motivated to live properly. That means, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. The only way you can guarantee not to be deceived is God's word. You will not be easily deceived if you give proper time and attention to God's word. Paul says, living wisely is also choosing friends wisely, because you become like who you spend time with. Think of the things you pick up from other people, their tone of voice, their language, even the words or expressions they use. You become like who you spend time with, so choose them wisely. Paul says we need to wake up. Wake up. He says, come to your senses about things that are going on around you and what God's word says. Where do you need to wake up and come to your senses? What area or areas of your life are you sleeping, in Paul's terminology, unconscious of the way you've been living, acting, and speaking, not caring what God's word has to say? And Paul says responding or living properly means stop sinning. Stop sinning. Now, if you don't know God, it's basically impossible not to sin. On the other side of that coin, the more you know God and his word, the easier it is not to sin. So the question is, how well do you know God? How well do you know God? Well, I know God sort of well, okay, superficially. We can talk about the weather. I can say hi. I don't really know God at all. How well do you know God? How did you do living like who you are and responding properly to the fact that there is a bodily resurrection, and we should celebrate that, but we also should respond to that? Paul is not done teaching about the resurrection. We have gone through 34 verses of chapter 15. It's all about the resurrection, and we've got more to go. This week and next week, we're going to be talking about the resurrection. Paul is not done discussing it, talking about it, teaching about it. In fact, he is not even done talking about our response to it. So this morning, the title of the message is the same, Responses to the Reality of a Bodily Resurrection. If you want to put part two on there, that's fine. But he's going to continue to say, it's a fact, here's what you do with it. In light of that, let's look at God's word, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35, to see more responses to the reality of a bodily resurrection. Paul says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, the second man, the Lord of heaven, from heaven. And or as the man was of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So before we go any farther, let's pray and ask God to help us look for responses to the bodily resurrection. Father, we thank you for the extended time you've given us in this passage and the focus that Paul has taken and shared with the Corinthians and with us about the importance of the bodily resurrection. Not simply so that we can rise again, but the hope it should give us, the motivation it should give us, and the wisdom it should give us about the truth of your plans and who you are, how you do things, and what you've shared with us. Lord, may you be pleased with how your word is handled this morning. May I be wise in the things I say. If there's something that I shouldn't say that's in my notes, may I pass over it. If there's something I should add, bring it to my mind at the right time. Lord, most of all, may each one of us respond to your word this morning. May we look at the responses that Paul instructs us about to the bodily resurrection, and may we take the one that you speak to us about and apply it to our lives this week. May we live differently because of our time together, our time in your word this morning. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Guys, one of the guys in the foyer, can you turn on the fans? It is warm up here. Thank you. Responses to the bodily resurrection. We're going to start in verse 35. It says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Paul may have simply been anticipating the argument to what was to come or what he has just said. Or this may be something that they wrote in their letter saying, this is something that people are asking or questioning or saying in the church. But we don't know which. But here's the summary. Maybe the resurrection is a good thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe it actually happens. Maybe it doesn't. But regardless, it doesn't make sense to me about how this happened or what it looks like. And that's what Paul's going to talk about. The question is, how does it happen? How can it happen? How can something be dead, be made alive? If it actually does happen, what kind of body do we have if we're raised up? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it function like? Is it the same one that got buried? And what if you're buried for a long time? Then what happens? Let's start with the basic facts. Dying is a part of life. Dying is a part of life for insects, for plants, for animals, and for us, for people. But we are the only ones who think about it. We are the only ones who fear it. Why do we fear it? Why are we the only ones who fear it? Because we're the only ones who think about it, but also because out of all the things that die, we are the only ones that are created in God's image. We are unique. And Paul is going to expand on this morning, but look what he says in the next two words in verse 36. Foolish one, if you think this way, if you think the fact that the resurrected body will be like the original body, or that the original body is going to walk around after it's raised from the dead, after it's been buried, Paul says you're foolish. And here's his reason why. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Verse 37, and what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. He says, look, in order for a seed to do anything, you put it in the ground and it dies. It has to be planted. The exterior dies and what's inside comes out and grows. What's inside of that, the seed is not the plant. It's what's inside of the seed that's the actual plant. Once it dies and it grows, you can see what it is. Death is a part of life. It is normal. It is natural, even for those who are made in the image of God. So because of this, because of the fact it's natural, we should not fear dying. We should not fear dying. It is normal. It is natural. We shouldn't fear it. But we also shouldn't fear it. But especially because there it is not the end. There is life after death, as Paul has just taught us. There is more to life than what happens here on earth. And because it's only the outside that dies. We are like this. What's on the inside, the spiritual, our spirit, our soul is going to live. It's what's eternal. It's what's most important. The external, the physical, is temporary. It will die, and as we'll see, it's going to be replaced. Because there is a bodily resurrection, we should not fear dying. Now, that doesn't mean we look forward to it or we enjoy it or we're wanting it to happen. but we recognize it's normal, it's natural, and we're not afraid because we know it's not the end. Because we know there's something that comes after, and in fact, we know what comes after, what will happen to us. So do you fear dying? Not because you don't want to suffer, but because you don't know what will happen, or you're not sure what will happen, or where you will go, how you will spend eternity, or where you will spend eternity. You can know today, and we're going to talk about that. You can know today by trusting what Jesus did for you to pay for your sin. You can know for sure where you will spend eternity and how you will spend eternity. Well, that's just for old people, Pastor Brian. You know, the old ones that are about to die like you. You know, the old people, or maybe the middle-aged people. I'm young. I don't have to think about this for a long time. Some of you don't know who this is. Maybe some of you do. The man with the glasses and the beard is Tim Challies. He's a pastor, he's a blogger, and he's a writer. This week, the young man in that picture, his son, Nicholas, or Nick, was 20 years old. And this is what he wrote on his blog. Nick was at Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky on November 3rd, playing a game with his sister and his fiance and other students when he suddenly collapsed and never regained consciousness. And he stepped into eternity. Now, the Challies family are confident that where Nick is. But at 20 years old, you don't expect that to happen. It's not just for young, old people. It's for everybody. You need to think about where you're going to spend eternity. I'm not trying to be morbid here. I'm trying to be realistic. You could walk out today and have an experience like Nick Challies. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? We should respond to the reality of a bodily resurrection by the fact that we should not fear death because we know what will happen. We know where we will go. And we should remember all bodies are not the same. All bodies are not the same. Look at verses 38 and 39. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are different types of physical bodies, is what Paul is saying. Not every body is the same. Your physical body is not the same as a bird, a animal, or a fish. You can look at a fish and say, it doesn't look like me. People in Paul's day could recognize that. They look different. They don't have arms and legs. They have scales. They don't have hair. They live underwater permanently and don't die and don't drown. And we can say more things. They have different types of organs. They have gills. They don't have lungs. They have different types of bones, different types of cells, different types of DNA. The same would have been easily to see for birds. You look at them and say, well, they have legs, but they don't have arms. They have wings. They have feathers, not scales or fish. They can fly. They're not the same as me. They have different types of organs, different types of bones. And again, for animals, we can look at them and say, they look different. It's because they are different. They don't have two legs, they have four. They have no arms, they have fur or hide. Some have horns or antlers. Some have extra stomachs. They're different than people. They're not the same. And Paul says, not only is it flesh on earth, he says there's more categories than that. Look at verses 40 and 41. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. The earth is different than other planets. The things on earth are different than one another. This planet does not look anything like earth. We could not live on this planet. Animals could not live on this planet. These planets and the earth are different than our sun. And our sun is different than other suns. They're not all the same. The earth, the planets, the suns and stars are different than moons or asteroids or comets. Pastor Brian, why is Paul talking about this? I get it. It's just reality. We know that people aren't the same as animals, fish, or birds, and that planets and suns and stars and moons are different. Here's why. Verse 42, the first part. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Paul's telling us the resurrection of the dead is not universal. It does not apply to every kind of body. All right, I'm going to give you a warning. You can see where this is going. So if you don't want to hear it, plug your ears, okay? Or if you don't want your child to hear this, cover their ears, okay? All types of bodies will not be resurrected. All types of bodies will not be resurrected. The Bible teaches that people are the only one the bodily resurrection applies to. Not your cat, not your dog, not your goldfish, not your hamster or your rabbit. All dogs don't go to heaven. All right, okay, now you can take your fingers out of your ears. Yes, the Bible talks about animals in heaven or animals in eternity in general, but it does not talk about our pets, just that there will be animals there. The bodily resurrection does not apply to plants, animals. It applies to people, just people, not moons, not stars, not planets, just people, just those who are made in the image of God. That's why God described their creation this way. The Lord God formed man, people, out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Just those creatures who were made, uniquely created in the image of God, who have a soul, an eternal soul, those are the only ones that the bodily resurrection applies to. So the question comes to you, those who are created in God's image, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Because you are not a bird, a fish, an animal, or a star, because you and I have an eternal soul, we need to wrestle with this question. We need to think about and ask and answer, where will we spend eternity? Have you given it any thought? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Even if you're 20 or younger, like Nick Challies. We respond to the reality of a bodily resurrection because we don't fear death. We remember that all bodies aren't the same, that we are unique, and that we rejoice that our new body will be very different than our current one. When do we get the new body? How does it happen? When does it happen? The passage we'll come to next week is the rest of 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read half of a verse, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what Paul says, how. When comes from 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be, always be with the Lord. Okay? That is how it's going to happen. We talk about that when we talk about the rapture. This is what it's talking about. What will happen to our bodies? Philippians, Paul says this, Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So what does that mean? What will our new bodies look like? What will they be like? First of all, let me not scare you or calm you. You will look like you. So if you were hoping for a body with, you know, a different face, a different, more tight, as I said, that I could be taller, it doesn't appear that's going to happen. Jesus was recognized by his disciples after he rose from the dead. Jesus looked like Jesus. You're going to look like you. Now, Jesus had scars, and he showed them to the disciples. And we may also still have scars. So if you are hoping that scar you have goes away, it may or it may not. Jesus may be the only one with scars because of what his scars paid for. It is not clear. Second, as we saw earlier in chapter 15, we will have a physical body. And if it's like Jesus' body, we're going to be able to eat food. Jesus, said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in their presence, meaning it's a real physical body. It's not a spirit. So what are they going to be like, Pastor Brian? Chapter 15, verse 42, the second half. The body is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. Our body is going to be incorruptible. Our current physical bodies are corruptible. They will break down. They will get sick. They will get a disease. They will fall apart, decay. They will perish. They and we are mortal. But our new bodies are not like that. Our new bodies will be incorruptible, immortal, imperishable. They will not die. They will not decay. They won't get sick. They won't get diseased. They will last forever. They won't suffer the effects of sin and the curse that came with it. Our bodies will be incorruptible. Verse 43, it, talking about the body, is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Our current physical bodies are dishonorable, are lowly. They have little value because of their limitations. Now, if you're thinking this is bananas, I couldn't find a picture doing this with bananas that I wanted. So these are actually plantains. Think about picking up that black one. Just feel, think about what it feels like. It has little value. You're limited as to how you can include it in your meal. You probably have a limited ability to pick it up. It's probably going to bend over and ooze and grow. It's soft, it's squishy, it may even fall apart when you touch it. But not the good plantain. You have more things you can do with a good plantain. It is more useful, it is more valuable. It's the same with our bodies. Our glorified bodies don't have the limitations our current bodies do. They will be more valuable, more useful. They will be able to do whatever God needs for them to do in eternity. Our new bodies will also be powerful. Look at the second half of verse 43. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Our current earthly body is weak. It suffers injuries, illness, hunger, fatigue, and eventually death. No matter how much you take care of your body, no matter how much you work out, eat right, see your doctor, see your dentist, your current body dies a little bit every day. Each and every minute, each and every day, your body right now is becoming more and more like that nasty, black, rotten plantain all the way on the right. But not so with your glorified body. It will not suffer decay, illness, sickness. It will never die. It will never become like that rotten plantain. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Spiritual, our new body will be spiritual. We have no problem grasping the idea that a physical body and a spiritual soul. Our current body is physical, so when we think of the spiritual, we think of there's no physical aspect to it. It's the opposite of physical, non-physical. Like those that saw Jesus after his resurrection, that's what people tend to think of. So what is a spiritual body? What is it like? I think it's better to talk about it as not a spiritual body, but a heavenly body or a supernatural body. Okay, it is a body. It is just a different kind of body, which is why Paul described the different kinds of bodies. Not all bodies are the same. So what will it be like? What can we do with it? What can't we do with it? Well, some of the things we know, some of the things we don't. Jesus, teaching before he went to the cross, said, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. We will have a physical body, but we won't have the same physical relationship with husbands and wife." Some people think we will look similar to angels and that we will have their ability, that we will be able to appear in one place and disappear and go to another without walking or without a car. Jesus did this after the resurrection. Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, sat at the table with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. That's one thing that people think may happen or we might have the ability to do. And then in John, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, and he goes on to speak to Thomas's doubt. Some people believe that we will be able to pass through walls. Those last things would be pretty cool, I must admit. But they're just opinions, suggestions, speculation, maybe even wishful thinking. But we can rejoice and thank God that we will not spend eternity in our current body. The new one will be incorruptible, eternal, glorified, and powerful. It will not be like the one we have. Aren't you glad you can look forward to an upgrade? How many of you guys like to upgrade technology, upgrade your car, upgrade your phone? You're going to get to upgrade your body, a new body, an improved body. You can rejoice. God will not make you keep the body you have for all eternity with all its problems, defects, and the idea that it's looking like that black plantain. He will get you a new one, a better one, an upgrade. Respond. Do not fear death. Remember, all bodies are not the same. Rejoice that our new body will be very different. Praise God for what he did. Praise God for what he did. Praise God for what he did to the first Adam. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man was the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust. Wait a minute, hold on, stop right there, Pastor Brian. We wouldn't be even in this mess if the first man, if Adam, didn't do what he did. We wouldn't need a new body if he and Eve hadn't messed up. Our current body would be perfect. We wouldn't have any problems. So why are we supposed to praise God for what he did? Remember I said praise God for what he did to the first Adam, not what the first Adam did. We're not talking about praising God for what Adam and Eve did, their sin, but what God did to them. First, it is only because God chose to create Adam and Eve that you are sitting here listening to me trying to stay awake. It is only because God didn't stop on day six and say, I'm done, animals are good enough. We wouldn't be here or be having this conversation if God didn't create Adam and Eve. Remember, God did not need Adam and Eve. He didn't need animals. He didn't need a galaxy, a universe. He was perfect and complete without anything or anyone else. He didn't lack something or nothing was missing, so he said, well, I got to fix it. I got to create it. He did it because he wanted to. He did it because he wanted to, not because he needed to. Second, we need to be praising him because he chose to make us different than the animals, as we've already seen. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God created us differently in his image. We have a physical and eternal. The animals don't have that. The plants don't have that. He allowed us to have that, to bless us with that. No other part of creation has that. That's why all dogs don't go to heaven. Third, he gave us free will. He gave it to Adam and Eve, and he allowed them to keep it. Unlike anything else he created, we still have free will. Because of what God did to and for Adam, we have a body, we have a soul, we have free will. We don't just have a body, just have a soul. We have both. Yes, and because of the consequences of what Adam and Eve did, we're suffering. Our body is not the same. It is no longer perfect, but we still have a body and soul. We also need to praise God for what he did through the last Adam. Look at the last two verses. Or I'm going to read a couple of portions. The last Adam, in verse 45, became a life-giving spirit. The first man, verse 47, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord of heaven. As was the man of dust, so are also those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have become the image of the man of dust, we also bear the image of the heavenly man. The last Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was different than the first. Yes, he had a physical body. Just like every person had, but he was also God. He was the Son of God and completely man at the same time. He lived a perfect life, was rejected, beaten, whipped, abused, hung on a cross, died, buried, and rose again. All of this, not because he deserved it or he earned it, but because he loved us. Not because he had to, but because he cared about us more than he cared about himself. In doing so, he offers forgiveness of sins, a relationship with him and with God, an eternity in heaven, and a new body for anyone who accepts his offer. Look at verse 49. And we have borne the image of the man of dust. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Aren't you glad you can bear Adam's image and the image of Jesus Christ? That you have a body and a soul right now, and that you are alive. But you don't have to keep your old body. You don't have to keep your original one. You can get an upgrade. Aren't you glad because of what the last Adam did, what Jesus did? God doesn't make you keep your current body, but he'll change it, make it new, make it perfect. Aren't you glad that you can bear the image of the first Adam and the last Adam, the heavenly man, not just the earthly man. From conception, we all bear the image of the earthly man, the first Adam. We don't get a choice. It is part of our DNA. The second Adam, the last Adam, we have to choose if we want that image, if we want to bear his image. We aren't born with it. We don't get it automatically. We won't be given a heavenly body, a spiritual body, a supernatural body automatically. Where will you spend eternity? You have to make that choice. Have you made that choice to bear the image of the last Adam of Jesus Christ? Have you given any thought to eternity, to what your body will be like, where you will spend it? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to make that decision today, to think about, where am I going to spend eternity? Don't wait. Don't do it. Do it today, even if you think, I don't have to worry about that for years to come. But I want to warn you, it's easy and it's hard all at the same time. It's easy because all you have to do is believe. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. That's the easy part. But here's the hard part. Then he, Jesus, said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is the hard part. It's not about carrying around a cross and being spiritual that way. It's about choosing to say, Jesus Christ is in charge of my life. God is in charge of my life, not me. I'm going to be doing what he says. I'm going to value what he values. I'm going to please him, not myself. I don't run my own life anymore. He does. That's the hard part. How are you going to respond to the reality of a bodily resurrection this morning? Are you going to say, I don't fear dying because I know what's going to happen? I know it's not the end. I know what comes after. I know where I'm going to go. Do you fear death because you don't know? You're not sure where you're going to go, where you're going to spend eternity, how you will spend it. You can know today by trusting in Jesus Christ, trusting him to pay for your sins and give you a new body. And remember, you may be thinking, I have a long time to think about this. We don't know how much time we have. So if you're putting it off, I encourage you, don't. Make that decision today. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon or tomorrow. By remembering, all bodies are not the same. All bodies will not be resurrected. Only people go to heaven, not creatures. Only the ones who are uniquely created, created in God's image, who have an eternal soul. Not birds, not fish, not animals, not stars, not plants. Only people, because they are the only ones that have an eternal soul. So we are the ones who need to think about where we're going to spend eternity. Have you given it any thought? Are you prepared? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? We respond by rejoicing that our new body will be very different. It will be incorruptible. It will be glorified. It will be powerful. It will be spiritual. Aren't you glad that you can look forward to an upgrade, a new body, improved body? You can rejoice that God is not and will not make you keep your body for eternity with all its problems and defects, but he will give you a better one, a perfect one. And we respond by praising God for what he did to the first Adam, that he created Adam and Eve and us in such a way that we bear his image, that we have an eternal soul. Yes, we have a body, but we have an eternal soul. It's not just a body. We're not just animals or plants. And praising him for what he did through the last Adam. Aren't you glad that because of the last Adam, because of what Jesus did, God will not make you keep your body? You can have one like Jesus Christ, a glorified body, a perfect one, one we described this morning. Have you made the choice? Have you made the easy choice to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I want him to pay for my sins? Have you made the reality that it's a hard choice? The fact that I have to give up my desires and put him first in my life, that he is in charge of my life and not me any longer. Have you given thought to eternity this morning? Where will you spend it? If you have, what decision have you made about eternity? And if you're going to tell me, Pastor Brian, you know what? I haven't made any decision. I really haven't thought about it. Guess what? You've made one. And it's not one that's going to get you the body we talked about this morning. It will not be, that decision will not allow you to spend eternity in heaven. Are you going to live like who you are this morning? Are you going to do what are you going to do in light of God's word, God's description, Paul's description of the bodily resurrection? How are you going to respond to the fact that it is a reality and we should respond to that truth just like every other truth in Scripture? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge this morning about thinking about eternity, not just earthly things. Thank you that you have blessed us with the future that will bring us a new body, one that's not suffering, but will work perfectly. In other words, we think about this reality. Help us to live in light of it. Help us to share that truth with others. Help us to rejoice and praise you. Most of all, Lord, if there's anyone here or anyone listening that hasn't made a decision, that hasn't thought about where they will spend eternity or has rejected your offer, continue to pursue them. Continue to convict them. Continue to speak to them through your Holy Spirit to prompt them to wrestle with the question, no matter what their age, whether they're 5, 50, or 95, help them to wrestle if they have not and come to a decision about eternity, where they will spend it, how they will spend it. Help them to understand the truth of what your Son did. Lord, we thank you for your sovereignty, even over the future that we don't know all about, but we know how it ends. We know who is in control, and we know what you will do with our bodies. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.